Help us listen with our ears and our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
You will be familiar with the old wives' tale that eating cheese late at night gives you nightmares. I am walking evidence that that is not true. The sheer volume of cheese that I consume, I would be wrecked with night terrors, particularly on a Sunday evening. It's our little ritual, cheese and biscuits. If ever there were a cheese dream in the Bible, it would be Jacob's ladder, or stairway, depending on your translation. Angels ascending and descending a ladder, with no explanation, seemingly. What could that be about? We'll come back to that in a moment. In the meantime, just for my own entertainment's sake, I asked the World Wide Web what the weirdest dreams they ever had were, and I thoroughly enjoyed some of the responses. A few of you may recognize yourselves among these, although I'm not going to mention any names. I went for a beer with the late great author and atheist Ian Banks, and Jesus turned up to join us for a pint. It was awkward, but fascinating. I was a green metallic robotic gorilla from a distant planet but spoke perfect English. On a bus where the route involved getting off the bus, walking through a sea life center, we all walked in line, paddled through a large swimming pool where porpoises jumped over us. We then got back on the bus and continued our journey. This one I know to be true. I jumped off a moving train and woke up to find my husband clawing me back through a half-open window. I had a dream Archbishop Sentamu and Archbishop Justin were breakdancing and headlining a carnival procession that also featured Taylor Swift. And the last, and by far my favorite, the Batmobile was parked in my driveway, so I drove it. There were loads more, and I didn't have room to include them all. But Jacob's dream is a bit weird. Angels ascending and descending a ladder. And I'm going to cut straight to the point of today's sermon. I want to suggest this morning that the dream is about God's promise. God's promise for Jacob, and God's promise for each of us. The verse that springs out at me from the reading this morning, "Know that I am with you. I will keep you wherever I go. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you." God was talking to Jacob, but I believe that God speaks today and that he is speaking to us still. A little bit of context. Jacob, whose name later became Israel, we'll come back to that in a moment, was Abraham's grandson, and he was famously born gripping Esau's heel, his brother's heel. He went on to willfully deceive his father out of Esau's inheritance, so at his brother's expense, he advanced. He had 12 sons who went on to become the tribes of Israel, hence the name change, Israel. In this particular passage, Jacob is fleeing for his life. He is a broken man, a sinner. His future is uncertain, and there is no inheritance guaranteed. The location is near Luz, en route outside Haran. And in this vision, he hears the voice of God. He hears God's blessings raining down from the cloud at the top of the ladder. He can hear, but he can't quite reach. It's just outside of his grasp. Jacob was a religious man, Jewish, and in the culture he was living in, he was living with two great promises before him, one of the promised land that would become home for the Israelites, and the other, of course, the coming of the Messiah. Theologians broadly agree that the ladder and the angels descending up and down is representative of the exiles that the Jews would suffer before coming home, before the coming of the king. They have debated that the angels have represented each of those exiles, Babylonia, Persia, Greece, and some have even gone as far as to suggest that the rungs on the ladders represent the years spent in exile. They get close to the cloud, and then they fall down. Symbolism is rife in dreams. We know this throughout the Bible. Jacob's descendant Joseph, of course, famously dreamed of cows and wheat. And I believe that God continues to speak through dreams today. A story for another day is how God affirmed my call to ordination through a dream. But I'll spare that for another day. In Jacob's day, of course, there were no smartphones. There was no internet, there was no TV, there was no social media, there was no background noise, there was no static, there was no billboards. There was more space, free from background noise. People would have been more able to hear. And people seemed to be more willing to believe that what they were hearing was the voice of God. And the angels seem to be representing this spiritual journey, three steps forward and two back. Another three forward, another two back. Towards the end of our vision, the angel representing the last exile, that of Edom, climbs higher and higher and penetrates the cloud. Jacob feared that his descendants would never be free from their enemies. God assures him that all enemies ultimately will be overcome, that his promise is true and that it stands. Jacob wakes. He names the place Bethel, the house of God, where God dwells. And the rootless Israelites are assured through this dream of a home. Now, in Jesus, we all come home. Home is one of the most fundamental and deepest needs we have as human beings. A place to call our own. It is our deepest human need to be able to just shut the door and sigh and kick off our shoes. To have a place that is entirely safe, where people come and go at our bidding. It is a space we can control light, noise, temperature. We modify it according to our needs in that time. And it is a basic human need to be able to walk around free from shackles of expectation. We can walk around naked and not just physically, but emotionally vulnerable. We can take off all the hats that we wear through the course of the day. Friend, parent, spouse, neighbor, colleague, vicar. We can just be. But the Israelites didn't have a place where they were able to be. They didn't have that sense of rest. And yet God had promised them a home. And through Jacob's dream, God's blessing is assured. His blessing of a place, but also his blessing on Jacob's descendants. And then through his descendants to the whole of the earth. And because we are grafted in by grace through us to the whole of the earth. This is the first time Jacob has heard God's voice himself. He has heard God speak via his father, but this incredible encounter is not a conversion scene. It's not a confession scene. It is about God's gracious love for Jacob, a broken, sinful man, relying on the grace of God. And the encounter with God strengthens him. He is fortified by his encounter and ready to continue his journey. So what does any of that mean for us? I think the reality of the Christian life is that just sometimes it's a bit of a slog. Just sometimes we plod. Like any journey, there are highs and lows, but actually a lot of the time we are plodding on like the angels, three steps forward, two back, three steps forward, two back. And there are times when we fall those three steps. It is really hard to believe in the promises of God, to cling on to his goodness. I want to suggest this morning that by holding on to our ancient rituals, our traditions in the Christian life, we can cling to God when the storms rage around us. And that allows us to continue to put one foot in front of the other, clinging on. Those ancient rituals include praying when we don't want to. Praying even if the words feel hollow, if they feel empty, if bluntly our heart isn't in it and we don't actually mean it. There is something powerful about prayer, perhaps particularly in those circumstances. I know through some of my darkest times, a very wise Christian lady told me to just pray the words of the collect every day, and that was the only thing I could bring myself to do in that day. But just reading those ancient words aloud, knowing that hundreds of thousands of Christians all over the world would be reading those same words that day, strengthened me and got me through a difficult time. Worshipping when we don't want to, choosing to worship God anyway. Worship leader Tim Hughes had a particularly dark season himself and wrote at length about how he had to get up in front of tens of thousands of people and lead them in the worship of God when, frankly, it was the last thing he wanted to do. It was during that time he wrote the incredible song, Clinging to the Cross. Small section of the words, my soul is weak, my heart is numb, I cannot see, but simply to the cross I cling, letting go of earthly things. So praying, worshipping, taking communion, coming and engaging in that ancient ritual that reminds us again of what Jesus did, not hiding from our Christian loved ones, the ones who will lift us up and speak truth to us. Above all, trusting in the slow work of God within us and through us. I want to read to you a prayer by, and I apologize, I'm going to mispronounce this name, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Is that right? I've got a nod. Okay, good. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip through the intermediate stages. We are impatient to be on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet it is the law of all progress that is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that it may take a long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today what time, that is to say, grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill, will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that his hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. Trust in the slow work of God. Plod on, one foot in front of the other. One of my personal heroes is a man called Sandy Miller, who was the vicar at the church I became a Christian at. And he used to say quite frequently, don't underestimate what can happen in a year. Don't overestimate, sorry, what can happen in a year. And don't underestimate what can happen in five. It is human nature to want results within ourselves and within our environment. But faith is so countercultural, and so gently, day at a time, we press on towards the goal. Sometimes even plodding is too much. Sometimes all we can do is stand our ground and trust in God's promises. There was a time, it was March 2018, just after I had been appointed here and that had been announced, where we had a quite extraordinary couple of weeks. The succession of events was something else. Lorna was had just started nursery, and she fell off a climbing frame and cracked her head open. My father-in-law was diagnosed with cancer, and they live in South Africa, so this presented a huge number of problems, obviously, for Finn. Finn came off his bike quite dramatically and was badly injured. That same bike was stolen a week later, which increased his journey to and from the house by an hour. And that is a precious hour in the day with very small children. And then Will got chickenpox, which of course is perfectly ordinary childhood illness. But both my children, not so much now, they're older, but they were prone to febrile seizures. There was one particular day where I had picked Will up from his nap, and I took a photo which I sent to Finn, entitled Our Little Prize Fighter, because he was so covered in spots, there was more red than white, and he could only open one of his eyes. And I was holding him and just flicked the telly on and realized moments later that he was convulsing quite violently in my arms. I looked down, and his one eye that I could see had rolled right back in his head, and the shaking was violent. I knew from experience that I needed to call 999 immediately, which I did, and the incredible human being on the other end of the phone, sent directly by God, I'm sure, spent the next 7 minutes talking me through his seizure. 7 minutes is quite a long time to have a seizure for, and as some of you will know, the longer it goes on, the greater likelihood there is of permanent damage. At one point, he stopped breathing, and the blue started to tinge his lips and spread across his face. The ambulance, I was assured, was on its way, but I discovered later it was coming from Cambridge, so time seemed to stretch out like an eternity. My feeling of abject helplessness as his mother in that moment was profound and terrifying. Praise God, he did start breathing again. Very, very short gasps and intermittently at first. And I slowly watched his color come back. But the feeling of fear didn't leave me. I remained in that state of extraordinary anxiety. The seizure passed and he fell into a very, very deep and peaceful sleep. And quite rightly, I needed to get off the phone to the person on the other end. And there was a gap of time where I held my sleeping baby waiting for the ambulance to arrive. And I watched him breathing slowly again in and out. And with no conscious thought whatsoever, I didn't engage my brain. Perhaps just out of a sense of utter helplessness, I began to sing, "We shall not be moved." And I sang it over my baby, and over myself, and over our future as a family, because sometimes all you can do is refuse to budge, to stand on the promise of God, and to know that He is good. So let's hold fast to our faith, as Jacob did. We know the end of Jacob's story, of course. We know that the people of God came out of the wilderness and entered their promised land, and we know that they fell again. And we know that when they fell, God sent his son, Jesus, to do all that we are unable to do. And we know that God is not finished with us yet. Through Jacob and through us all, broken and feeble as we are, the people of God will be blessed. Let's pray. Lord, give us all that we need to plod on with our faith. Help us to lean into the rituals and rhythms that hold us through times of trial, to pray, to worship, to come and take communion. We hold onto your promise. Know that I am with you and I will keep you wherever I go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. This morning, Lord, we pray for all who feel like they are angels, 3 steps forward and 2 back. We pray for all who cannot even plod. but who need the strength just to hold on today. Meet with us, Lord. Strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.